Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 26 of the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. I'm your host, Brian Sippets. You can reach me at HockeyStrengthPodcast@gmail.com. On today's episode, we're going to be talking to Coach Drew Little from Michael Johnson Performance down in Dallas, Texas. We're going to be talking to Drew about hypertrophy in athletes and also how they're influencing their athletes through nutrition down at Michael Johnson Performance. We'll talk to Coach Little in just a second, but first we want to tell you a little bit about HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. HSC is the web's greatest collection of hockey strength and conditioning information, complete with material from the top NHL, collegiate, and private strength coaches. We've got over 800 articles, videos, programs, and webinars. So if you're coaching hockey players in any way, or if you're a hockey player yourself and you're interested in the training aspect, you got to get on HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. It's an unbelievable resource for all things training hockey players. We're helping you produce healthier, stronger, and more effective players at every single level. We're always posting new content, so be sure to check in frequently to see our newest information. If you're new to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you can gain instant access to our members-only content for just $1 for the first 7 days. You'll get a full access membership. You can check out training videos, current programs, and articles from some of the best strength coaches in hockey, or you can talk to them directly in the forum. We know you're going to love the content, but if you're not totally happy with it, just cancel your trial membership and you'll be out just $1. After the 7-day trial period, you can continue to be a member for just $14.95 a month, or you can sign up for the entire year for just $149. With that option, you basically receive 2 months free, so it's a great value. The site's got so much material from the nation's top coaches, so don't miss your chance to be a part of our community. And if you haven't done it yet, head to the site and download our HSC Essential articles. Those are the top 10 articles of all time. They're absolutely free to you, so take advantage of that, and that's our gift to you for checking out the site. All right, we're all set. We're going to get on the phone with Coach Little down in Dallas, Texas. All right, I'm on the phone with Coach Drew Little. Drew is a performance specialist at Michael Johnson Performance down in Dallas, Texas. Drew is one of the kind of rising stars in terms of hockey strength and conditioning, at least in our eyes. He's had some great contributions to our site, and he's also done some great things down there in Dallas, Texas. We're excited to talk with you, Drew. Thanks for joining us on what might be a day off for you.
No problem, Brian. Been a long time follower with you and Daryl here on HockeyStrengthCoach.com. So I know there's a lot of top professionals on this website. You guys got a lot of good information, so just glad to be a part and contribute.
Yeah, no, we definitely think you're a guy that can bring something to the table. And I guess the reason for this topic, we're actually having a strengthcoach.com forum discussion the other day. This idea of hypertrophy came up, and there's kind of mixed feelings on this. Before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing down there at Michael Johnson Performance. I checked out the facility. There's definitely no shortage of awesome equipment and great space and top athletes down there. So what exactly do you do on a daily basis as a performance specialist there?
Well, as a performance specialist at MJP, I kind of hold several hats in the company, kind of got different roles. My first and foremost responsibility is obviously a coach. And I use that coach in a broad term. At MJP, well, one of our main things is to provide, an all-encompassing experience for the athletes. We all know that with athleticism, there's more than just, strength or power. It's also speed. There's recovery, regeneration, skill acquisition, and so on and so forth. So I kind of wear lots of different hats. So first and foremost, I'm a coach, kind of with the coach rotations in the morning, with the collegiates and the professionals. My past duties were with the youth in the afternoons, youth ranging from 9 to 11-year-olds, middle schoolers, all the way up through high school, doing some team training as well, like hockey clubs and whatnot. So my roles have kind of shifted more towards the pro and elite side, but I still have contributions to the youth aspect as well. I'm also kind of our in-house nutrition consultant. So with our athletes that have kind of special needs, such as like long-term athletes, if they're going to be with us for, you know, 6 weeks to 3 months to even 6 months, you know, I'm kind of working with those athletes to give them the best experience and the, you know, highest likelihood to succeed during the time that they're with us. Also with the NFL Combine Prep, I'm the nutrition consultant for those guys as well. So customizing their plans as well, or even some specialty athletes that come into our physical therapy clinic that need some assistance with their nutrition guidance as they're dealing with their rehab and recovery. Also our extern coordinator, we have kind of two different roles, externs and interns. So I'm in charge of the externs, and that's a 12-week program where basically we train those applicants to be the best, you know, coaches and to be game ready in any situation that they want to be into, whether that be high school, professional, collegiate, or private sector. It's a pretty intensive 12-week course that they get a lot of hands-on experience. They can, with the volume of athletes we see, they'll literally get a couple of years worth of experience in just about 3 months. So it's designed to teach them and integrate them into our system, in kind of weekly modules. So, you know, 1 week of, you know, our force or our weight room strength work, another week on power, linear speed, change of direction speed, and so on and so forth, all the way up through 12 weeks, hitting different components. And also serve as role as our product tester. So that's kind of like a loose position. So we're always trying to be a step ahead of all of our other competition and try to, again, give the athletes the biggest chance to succeed. So whether it's, you know, new training equipment or it's new technology, you know, for testing or monitoring or recovery tools as well. So it's my kind of role to see what's out there, get in contact, give them a try out, you know, list the pros and cons and see if it's not worth within our budget to, you know, invest in those items. So, well, a lot of hats that I wear, but I have an interest in all of them, so I'm glad to do it.
Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to calculate and figure out how you fit all that into a day. I mean, that's a ton of
lots
stuff.
Lots of coffee, bro. Lots of coffee.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, you know, I guess where we sort of caught on to you was when you were working with youth programs. You've also, you know, spent time with the CHL team and worked with some of those athletes in the Central Hockey League. And also with the Stars Development Camp, you've done some work there and pre- and post-testing at Michael Johnson Performance. So you've been around hockey. You've done that for a while. You're also working with a lot of youth hockey athletes. And so I guess getting into the topic today, I guess one of the arguments, or not arguments, one of the discussions we had on the forum was, you know, this idea of hypertrophy came up, and you know, muscle growth and muscles, the growing muscle size, and is that really important in hockey? And I guess I posed the question as, you know, I'd heard a really respectable coach say that it was important, but he didn't really elaborate. So I was hoping to start a discussion as to why hypertrophy work is important. I know we don't put much stock in it, or I guess we wouldn't necessarily dedicate time to it throughout our training programs, both at my facility and anything we write for hockeystrengthandconditioning.com. And you had kind of come on as an advocate, you know, saying it might be worth dedicating some time. And so talk a little bit about what your stance was on hypertrophy work and its value in hockey.
Well, kind of how I stepped into that is, you know, like I said, I've been a long-term member of you guys and been a follower of Coach Boyle for many years. And, you know, I know that in our industry, when it comes to training athletes, you know, we can't be stuck in the Stone Ages where we look at, you know, muscle and fitness magazines and go on T-Nation or bodybuilding.com and do a lot of isolated training thinking that's the way to, you know, make athletes better. It's just increasing lean mass. I mean, there's many different demands that all athletes of all sports need. All those need to be catered and individualized. And, you know, in a lot of cases, more times than not, you know, again, we don't really, a lot of coaches don't really work on hypertrophy because if you're in a high school or a college setting, you're very limited on time. So a lot of coaches will advocate their time to things that they deem more important. And we're along the same lines as well. But being a private facility, you can be a little bit more flexible with your time. So in terms of hypertrophy, now I can make this relatable to lots of other sports out there, but I'll kind of keep it specific to hockey. So, you know, we all know that the more mass that somebody has, you know, if they don't increase their strength or the power, I mean, they're going to get slowed down. Or, you know, coaches will be concerned about just adding mass that's not really necessary. Well, you know, I don't really fall under one camp of pros or cons with a lot of topics. I try to look at things through, you know, what does the athlete need? And I try to be, you know, pretty open and objective to all aspects of training. So in terms of hypertrophy, kind of where I feel that it fits, I try to make it very relatable to the athlete. I mean, me myself, I was a basketball player in high school, middle school, elementary. So I try to make things as relatable to the athlete as possible. So when it comes to hockey players, I try to paint the picture this way, or even if I'm talking to parents or coaches, I'm just like, listen, so, you know, you and your team are out there on the ice. There's lots of different things that some hypertrophy can benefit the athlete. So whether it's a youth or professional, you know, for males, they're going to be increasing their lean mass and adding some more muscle to them. I mean, that's going to kind of improve their confidence level. It's going to improve their confidence level off the ice and on the ice as well. They're going to feel just more prepared and more ready. There's also the component of, you know, it might assist with some intimidation factors with another team. You know, say like, you know, you got your guys and you're getting their strength up and their power and their speed and they're increasing their lean mass as well. You know, and you step up to another squad that is not as physical or is not, you know, as, you know, large or have some muscle mass, some of your athletes, that's going to put that little intimidation component into it. So they may not, you know, perform optimally because they're kind of like, uh-oh, you know, I got to go against this guy that's, you know, 10 pounds heavier than me or 15 pounds heavier than me or, you know, five, you know, something very small can make a big difference. Also, I like to look at it from an injury prevention standpoint. So this is how I relate it to the parents, coaches, and the athletes. So, you know, if you're a defenseman and, you know, you got a forward that's coming down with the puck and you're trying to go and get that puck or you guys are battling against the wall, you know, I would rather have you, my athlete, giving the impact as opposed to, you know, you're trying to muscle and take the puck and you're not able to really make your presence like known or you're not able to really win that battle. Or let's put it in the opposite position. Let's say one of my forwards is down on the opposite end of the ice and the defenseman is about to walk up and just chuck him to a wall and say you don't have a lot of muscle mass to really absorb that impact. I mean, that's just going to kind of increase your likelihood of, you know, separating a shoulder or just getting knocked off your skates and just landing on your back. There's, you know, lots of different examples of that. So I kind of tell the athlete, tell the coach that, listen, I want your athlete to be able to give the impact, but I want you to be able to absorb it as well. From, like I said, from a performance standpoint and injury prevention standpoint. And then, like I said, just the physical advantage as well. You know, the more lean mass that an athlete is able to build, you know, the greater capacity or capability that they are going to be able to exert that extra mass they have through either, you know, their power or their strength or their speed. Not saying that, you know, some of the smaller players aren't very strong and explosive and fast and powerful, but you just kind of raise up your potential or your ceiling to be able to express that force.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I agree with you 100% there. I mean, the extra little weight, I'm a big guy myself, and definitely use my weight to my advantage. You know, in my play, you know, I guess, well, that's the why, right? So we know that, we're looking at injury prevention and maybe some intimidation factor and just the ability to exert some more force on other players out there. So that's the why hypertrophy. What's the how? How do you go about, you know, if you're in what you call a hypertrophy phase, what is that?
So in our private sector, very rarely do we get athletes for long term. You know, if you're the strength coach for a club, or for, you know, collegiate setting, professional setting, high school, that's going to be a little bit different. You know, you're kind of responsible for those kids, you know, 52 weeks out of the year. So you got different times to program that in if you feel that that's a need and that's important to you. Where we're limited in is the amount of time that we're going to be able to get athletes. So whether it be for, you know, an off season, a summer, 6 weeks. So we really don't have a lot of time. So we kind of have to, you know, give them, you know, as much as we can at the appropriate amount for the short duration that we have them. So it's going to be a little bit of challenges there. So one way we kind of set up our system is, you know, with every session we do, you know, they go through their hour of, you know, movement, power, and speed, you know, with their plyometric med ball throws and, you know, linear speed or change of direction speed. Then they go through their weight room session as well. And so depending upon that phase, I mean, more times than not, you know, that first exercise or combo is going to be for, you know, their strength development or their effort, you know, lift. And then, you know, secondary, they're going to be more in like a speed combo, where they're trying to produce as much force as power as possible. And then that very last combo is, you know, what we're going to call like our volume combo. And so that's going to be to where we're working more smaller muscle groups, more time under tension. We're very big on our tempos here. So, you know, longer eccentrics, even with some isometrics as well. That for one thing will change the intensity of the lift for sure. So they don't have to sit there and do 20 repetitions of an exercise. I can make it 8, and it's going to be pretty intensive on them just based on controlling their body and controlling that tempo. So we'll have a couple of exercises at the very end, that we'll do again, whether it be for the shoulders, or be for the upper back, lower limb, so on and so forth. Even at the end, say with, NFL offseason or, you know, other professionals that come in their offseason, you know, at the very end, more so for the males, we'll do a little bit of, you know, quote unquote, a bodybuilding circuit at the very end of a session or kind of like a little competitive circuit that the guys really buy into and really feed into. Cause most male athletes, they, you know, they like that kind of training. They like to feel that pump. They like to know that they're making, you know, gains that they can see in the mirror or when they're out with their girlfriends or whatever. So they really buy in and feed into that. And sometimes you got the athletes that, you know, don't really like the corrective exercises or the mobility drills that we do. So it's another way that we kind of just sprinkle that in a little bit, kind of like a compromise so that they can get buy-in on all the other things that we know is important and they seem as big as, you know, boring or useless. So we throw that in there, you know, again, it's whether it be for, you know, crazy eights on biceps or it's, you know, high repetitions for, you know, for triceps and the guys are like, you know, encouraging each other and building each other up to finish, don't stop, you know, things like that. And so, I mean, it also get that competitive part to it, but you get that, you know, mental, challenge component into it as well. So, you know, we'll usually have like a volume combo at the end of the session or like a little quote unquote, very short, bodybuilding circuit to get that, hypertrophy in as well. And then as far as programming in phases, we don't really do that too often unless we know it. We have an athlete that's his number one need. He has to increase his lean mass first and foremost. We know he's going to get stronger just by doing that. You know, he's a baseball player or a basketball player and he's just a little pipsqueak beanpole. You know, then we might program his time, you know, with us with the hypertrophy phase because we know that's his number one need, more than anything. And then it all depends on the athlete's goals. You know, when we're meeting with them, they talk about what some of their goals are and what they want to accomplish. You know, then we kind of cater it towards that as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you seem to have a lot of individuals there who are training as a group, but on each of their own individual programs. So if you're, you know, if you're in a team setting, obviously you're going to have some guys that are able to put on muscle and some guys that have a hard time. I know I'm going to have scrawny arms my entire life, no matter what I try to do. So,
I'm right there with you.
you know, so I guess you, in a team setting, especially, you probably get some mixed results with that. I think, I guess my stance or where I've been so far is that, you know, especially in the youth market. And so in my facility, we have 12, 13, 14, all the way up to, you know, 18-year-olds, basically in our youth program that, we have, you know, we basically have 3 months to do something. So I want to start working on motor unit recruitment. So we're going to try to, get heavy and safe patterns that the kids are good at. So, you know, like you said, we tend to follow a Boyle style of, you know, working towards single leg strength or, you know, rear foot elevated strength, that kind of stuff. Some kids it's not appropriate just yet, so we have a lot of progressions we can use. But I guess my contention would be that kids gain strength and gain muscle size just by lifting. You know, there's some camps out there that are high rep, you know, few sets. There are some camps out there that are few reps, high sets. So the volume's all the same, but you're still getting the strength work in. You know, I guess we've seen results. We see our performance results, and we also see some weight gain. You know, in 3 months, you're not. I don't think we can get that much, but I guess that's where we are on that. In terms of hypertrophy, I'm really not calling anything a hypertrophy phase. It turns out that I think when kids lift things up and exert muscular force on things, I think it tends to give them some gains anyway. What do you do with your younger guys? Do you do anything like that? You mentioned the collegiate guys and maybe the NFL guys, but what do you do with your younger guys? Anything like that?
So everything you just said, I agree with 100%. I mean, just by training, yeah, they're going to increase their lean mass. They're going to get stronger. They're going to add muscle. You know, we work on, you know, movement patterns as well. You know, our system is based on a lot of different influences from a lot of different people. And we just kind of utilize what we feel is best for our athletes and our scenario and our situation, and things like that. So with our youth athletes, you know, we really follow real closely with the long-term athletic development model. So, you know, when it comes to, you know, power, speed, or force in the weight room, you know, we're going to kind of cater that towards, you know, the different age groups and what their, you know, biggest windows of adaptation is going to be, or what their most sensitivity to adapting is going to be. So, yeah, for 9 to 11-year-olds, you know, they're going to have a lot of different needs than middle schoolers and high schoolers as well. So we're going to cater that, you know, so they may be working more on just as far as, I'll just kind of keep it in terms of weight room, but in terms of just weight room, you know, we're going to keep them more for a strength endurance base, more for the middle schoolers. You know, we know that they're going to get more bang for their buck if they're working on more of, you know, increasing work rate of force development. So yeah, they're using a little bit of loads, but how quickly can they really, you know, move that load or accelerate it? And when I say middle school, I'm kind of referencing 12, 14-year-olds. And, you know, we know that middle schoolers, you're going to get kids that are in a lot of different places from a development standpoint. You're going to get some kids that are not very mature physically, mentally, and then you're going to get some of those middle schoolers that are pretty physically and mentally and emotionally mature than others. So that's kind of where it's on our coaches' hands and responsibilities to kind of try to individualize those youth athletes based on where they are in their development process. So yeah, for the younger ones, you know, that's definitely going to be more strength endurance. That's not going to be a hypertrophy portion, you know, because we know that they're not going to get very much bang for their buck out of that, nor max strength. Middle schoolers, again, that's going to be more for speed strength. You know, at times that I've had middle schoolers, if I can look at a kid and see, all right, he's pretty developed, you know, then I might change up his reps and sets and his tempos a little bit to kind of cater towards where he is and along that development standpoint. And then the high schoolers, you know, we know that we're going to get kids that are freshmen, you know, 15 years old, and we're going to know that we're going to get the seniors in high school that may be 17 or 18. And they're all different in the development stages as well. But when you got these kids that are 15 freshmen, you know, and they're just now, you know, getting more physically mature, and they got a lot of ground to gain to catch up to the sophomores, juniors, and seniors. You know, that's kind of where that, you know, quote unquote max strength or a little bit of hypertrophy is going to be more needed if they're going to give themselves the best chance to compete out there in competition or practices. You know, when we had a 25-week contract with a hockey club, and we had all the teams from the squirts, peewees, bantams, midgets. I had one of the peewee groups, so that was a younger group, so I'm not going to really be doing, you know, low repetition or any decent heavy loads or worrying about, you know, hypertrophy. Just as we mentioned, they're going to get that on their own, but I was in charge of the midget team as well. Those are the high scorers, and those guys were all competing at a pretty high level and all have offers to colleges and so on and so forth. So, you know, yeah, we worked on, you know, some max strength, and we worked on some, you know, speed strength and a little bit of hypertrophy as well, you know, because again, got to got to kind of set those guys up to be as successful as possible. And we were able to appropriately, program and periodize their work while they were with us, because we had them for more long term, half a year.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like you guys have a really good thing going down there. I think you guys really understand the needs of a different age players and stuff like that. And you mentioned too, with everything you're involved in there, you mentioned the nutrition portion of that. How much influence are you able to have on the big groups that you have? Do you have kind of a something in the business or in the company that you really stand on nutritionally, or are you taking each athlete on his own, or is it, do you give information to the teams? How do you tackle getting all that nutrition information out to your athletes?
That's a loaded question with a lot of questions people ask me. It all depends. So it's kind of, different answers for different circumstances. So basically company-wide, we got kind of different elements of athleticism that we try to influence or touch. Skill acquisition, speed, strength, suppleness, stamina, and then we got another bucket called strategies. And within strategies, that could be mental, it could be nutrition, could be several things. So within that strategy bucket that we try to provide to the athletes, we have kind of prefabricated documents that kind of give education to the athletes, the parents, or even the coaches if we're working with teams, like club teams, whether it be for hockey or soccer and whatnot. So there's that kind of educational sport or portion of it that we give out to the youth. And when it comes into more the collegiate or the professional standpoint, that all comes into depending upon what their goals are. But believe it or not, some people just aren't interested in changing their nutrition habits, and that's fine. We're not going to push it or force it down their throat. We'll try to give them the best success possible with supplementation that we're able to provide them. But the ones that do seek advice or do have specific goals and needs, like, hey, I got to try out, I got to be at this body weight or this body type, composition or whatnot, then that's where they can kind of sit down with me and we can go over nutrition strategies. So I'm a pretty big component of John Berardi and the folks at Precision Nutrition. I got their level one cert back in 2010. So I've been implementing those strategies and habits since then, and currently in the level two program right now, which is, basically a long-term coaching mentorship. So I definitely utilize a lot of their tools and education and habits based. As far as like what we provide for athletes, like I said, it's more of the ones that need it. It's just kind of consulting, coaching, helping them create action steps, helping giving them compliance tools to stay accountable to, what I know that they, need to be doing. We don't really get very specific and detailed and individualized except for the NFL Combine Prep. That's kind of where all those guys I meet with, and I take all the training stimuluses they're going to have and, their different body structures and, medical histories and all that stuff. And I try to make it as individualistic as possible based on what them or their agents feel that they need to. So that's the only group that we really specifically individualize with myself. All the other ones is going to be kind of prefabricated documents for education purposes, or, it's just kind of like that consulting, that coaching relationship with the athlete for the time that they're with us.
Gotcha. Yeah. And, in your time with, looking back on your, I guess you still have hockey players, hockey teams. It's tough to throw out blanket, advice and all that to give to an entire team, but what are you, when you have contact with these teams, are you giving them specific things to think about in terms of nutrition, or what are you telling them in terms of, basic hockey or nutrition for hockey performance?
So with hockey athletes that come to us, if it's on an individualistic standpoint, like we had a couple of collegiate hockey players in this summer that I work with. They're playing at pretty big universities, so I know that those guys are, high level and they have a specific need. Again, for the clubs that we've worked with, that's kind of with the prefabricated documents as far as carb timing, hydration strategy, protein intake, post-workout nutrition, you know, kind of the basics that they need. And, you know, those coaches have my email and the coaches' emails of their groups, and they've got, like, more specific, like, hey, can you take a couple minutes and talk to the group about how to hydrate before and after games or practice or training, or, you know, how can they, you know, increase their muscle and get stronger and faster and so on and so forth.
Gotcha. So you're basically on call there in terms of what topics you're covering and that.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, again, let's take the two collegiate guys that I had this summer. You know, they both were brothers, so, you know, they're similar body structures, and, you know, knowing the demands of that sport, you know, and, you know, doing a background on, you know, kind of their universities that they play for and their playing styles and what the coaching style is like. And, you know, with that consulting, I, you know, first of all, ask them, you know, kind of like I always ask the athletes that work with me, I ask them the five whys. And basically that's a strategy that was developed by some marketer at Toyota, where basically you ask them a question such as, why are you trying to seek nutrition, you know, advice? And then they answer why. And then he's like, okay, why, you know, this? And then they'll give you an answer. Okay, well, why, you know, this? Why this answer? So you go that through five times, and every single time they have to answer why. It kind of digs deeper and deeper into that, you know, internal and intrinsic motivation to really why they want to improve their nutritional habits and why they train and why they really compete or an athlete. Because if I ask an athlete, what's your goal or why are you asking help? They're all going to say the same thing. I want to be more athletic, or I want to be faster, or I want to be stronger. It's very basic. It doesn't help me, and it doesn't really make the goal very real for the athlete. So the more I can ask why and dig deeper into the you know, deep reasons why and the emotional parts, and it kind of exposes their identities and exposes their values. And once they really look at that last and fifth why, it makes it very real for them. So I kind of use that as a motivation whenever we're talking about habits or strategies. I'm like, you know, hey, you know, this is your identity. These are your values. This is why you're doing this. This is why it's important for you. So that way it's going to help them to become, you know, more compliant with whatever you guys are working on. So that's kind of like the first thing, you know, and then I kind of follow up with going over, you know, say maybe five different habits, or, you know, looking at the lowest possible hanging fruit, you know, based upon their food journals that they all give me. So I don't really tell them we're going to do this and this and this and this and this, because anytime you tell an athlete you're going to do something, it's just human nature. They're going to instantly try to rebel and gain control of the situation. It's just human nature. So you got to figure out different strategies on how you can talk to the athletes, help them to trust you, help them to open up, and help them to really, you know, take the control of the situation with your guidance. So I'll kind of list out these lowest hanging fruits I feel can affect them the most. And I'll kind of let them, you know, decide on what habit that they want to work on one at a time. So we're not going to really work on a complete overhaul, because that's why you see all these 28-day, you know, 60-day, you know, 6-week diet programs fail, and they're not long-term, because it's too much too soon. People are trying to do a complete overhaul and don't really have very specific action steps, and they'll stick to it for a while, and it gets to be too much, and they revert back to their old habits. So really focus on one, maybe two maximum things at a time that they feel, you know, 9 out of 10 confidence level that they can do for, say, 2 straight weeks. And I'll give them different charts to monitor their compliance and how well that they're performing and doing. And if they're rocking it, doing very well, doing a very high percentage of their compliance, you know, then, all right, awesome. Let's move on to this habit now. Now you're going to still continue to do this one habit that we've been working on for the last 2 weeks. But now that you've mastered it, let's move on to this. And then, again, we'll do that for 2 weeks, track it. All right, let's move on to this habit now. You know, and then at times, you know, then you got the difficult times to where they think that they were confident, but they didn't really have the right action steps, or they didn't really stick to it like they thought they would. Okay, well, then that's my job to help figure out ways to make that habit even easier and break it down even simpler to where they can master it at even a smaller step. Because we all know, you know, small steps equal up to a mile. You know, it's better to take small steps and keep making progress as opposed to, you know, sprinting out right out of the blocks really fast, but then you lose all your energy and die off and stop. So it's a lot of psychological effects that you have to have. It's just like a strength program you guys give, you know, your collegiates or professionals in the off season. You can pour in hours and days of your life into the best perfect program in the history of mankind. But an athlete doesn't do it, it's completely worthless. And then there goes all your time and wasting, you know, their time because they didn't really, you know, do the nutrition strategies or the training program. So you got to kind of break, we kind of got to break even simpler, through, like I said, education and strategies and finding ways that they can monitor their progress and compliance. And then we utilize different BIA devices, bioelectrical impedance and skinfold testing as well, to track their progress. So then I know, hey, if things are working, awesome, let's keep going. If things aren't working the way they're supposed to, all right, let me try to figure out where we can manipulate some things or change some things up and so on and so forth. So they know that they have a compliance chart and that they're going to get analyzed in their body composition frequently. So that kind of keeps that internal motivation as well. And then of course, if they see results, then they're yours. you got them eating out of the palm of your hand. You start getting those athletes results, boom, you got their trust instantly.
Yeah, I think, you know, everything you were talking about there, I know that's kind of the value in that precision nutrition certification and education. It's obviously there's some nutrition involved in that, but you know, for the most part, it's about influencing people, and that's your job as a coach, really, is to influence people and kind of encourage them to do what you know to be right for them, and hoping that they catch on to that, and like you said, see those little gains and see the benefit of what they're doing so that they can then make it their own. So I think that's a great thing that precision nutrition is teaching, and it definitely seems to be benefiting you guys down there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of their program. I mean, don't get me wrong. Anyone that makes a change in any kind of nutrition-wise, they're going to get a benefit. There's going to be some positive change. Just by changing one small thing, the body's going to adapt in a different way. So, you know, there's no program out there that's, well, I say there's no. There's a lot of bad programs out there nutritionally-wise. But for the most part, it's all the same information. It's all, you know, the right information, you know, depending upon the person and the application. You know, I was getting a discussion with another coach that was, you know, we're talking about precision nutrition, and he was like, yeah, all that information is like all at our fingertips. We all already know this stuff about food quality and amounts and, you know, all this other stuff. It's all out there. It's nothing new. So like, it can't be that great. I was like, well, yeah, that's true. We all do have the same information at the, you know, at our fingertips on the internet and things like that in books. But what other program really, you know, teaches you how to coach? How many programs out there really help you in making the difference? How many programs really help, you know, make the process real for the athlete or for the client or individual and help them to take ownership and really help them to, you know, take the action steps that they need to adapt to these long-term changes as opposed to, you know, just sticking to a detox diet and juicing for 6 weeks. And then what happens a month later, they gain all that weight right back because there's no change that occurred. So that's the beauty of the program. It goes way into more, I mean, granted, there's a lot of physiology and science behind it. And there's a lot of good information that comes through that. But the most valuable is definitely the psychology and the coaching aspect of it. And that really kind of, in my experience, changed the way not only do I deal with athletes nutritionally, but as I'm coaching them as well, because then you can kind of get into, you know, what's the person's, you know, motivation or what's their skill level and so on and so forth. So you really learn different ways to phrase words or, you know, have the right kind of nonverbal communication that, you know, opens up the athlete, or how to read their nonverbal communications to really identify and see what they're feeling or what they're thinking.
Yeah, and on that, I know in our discussions before, you forwarded me some great content from some articles about, you know, and they're all from Precision Nutrition. I'll put them up on the site, and people can take a look at that. They're great resources, especially the effective coach talk, and that's kind of what you're touching on there, about just learning how to phrase certain things with certain people and figuring out how you can influence them. All right, Drew, thanks so much for joining us today. I know we definitely learned a lot, and we'll have our eye on you for sure. And we'll look for some more great content coming to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
All right, no problem, Brian. Again, thanks for having me. It was a great privilege and honor to be with you guys and help contribute. And, you know, hopefully, you know, people can take my information and my experiences and, you know, gain one little nugget of knowledge. I know through different podcasts and websites, I've gained a lot of, you know, experience and knowledge and people that's helped me along the way. So hopefully someone can take one small nugget and, you know, better improve their craft. You know, if anyone needs to contact me through the email, my email is just my first initial D, my last name Little, at michaeljohnsperformance.com. So anyone out there has any questions or anything like that, don't be afraid to reach out.
Perfect. All right. Thanks again, Drew. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
All right. That's going to wrap up episode 26 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks so much to Drew Little for joining us from Dallas, Texas. Remember to head to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. If you haven't already, go ahead and download our HSC Essentials. These are our top 10 articles of all time. It's a great resource, a great place to start if you're new to the site. We look forward to talking to you next time. Until then, be sure to train smart and check out HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, the world's best source for training hockey players. Talk to you soon.